Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we are back live. It's the Alex Jones Show this May 8th, Friday, 2009. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. We've got Chris Pinto in this segment of the America's Secret Beginning series. The latest, of course, is Eye of the Phoenix. You can get that over at Infowars.com. Or if you get all three, basically we're only going to charge you for two. $59.95 gets you all three films over at the Infowars shop. And I had Pinto on my program probably about a month ago. I do a little radio show here, The Info Warrior, 9 to midnight. And it was just a great conversation. I really love this guy's work. I mean, I think David Bay is the other guy, but I've seen all three of these. They are extensive. You don't have to agree with every point to see that something is going on here, and they're just so well-researched and well-done. It's really comparable to something that the History Channel would put out, so it's very digestible for people that don't know about this information. I'd like to thank Chris for joining us. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
I am good, man. You know, Eye of the Phoenix is the latest one. This one really just excellent, goes really deeply into Nicholas Roerich, Manly P. Hall, Franklin D. Roosevelt, the people under Roosevelt, and really the secrets of the dollar bill. It shows you why this Illuminati symbol, this all-seeing eye symbol, is on the back of the dollar bill, how it got there, and so much more. Why don't you tell people how you got started on this entire series? Because it's almost complete. It's almost 9 hours long. I would guess probably 8 hours and 30 minutes, 8 hours and 15 minutes, somewhere around there. And it is a one-of-a-kind series.
Yeah, it's, I've been studying New World Order information for close to 10 years now, and making documentaries about it. And when I was doing some of the early research on the New World Order, I came across this whole doctrine about America as the New Atlantis, and this information about Sir Francis Bacon and this plan supposedly that went back thousands of years that looks to the ancient philosophers like Plato and Pythagoras and others, and that this plan had somehow or other been handed down over the centuries. At least this is what's believed by certain writers of arcane lore, and that it was picked up by Francis Bacon and Dr. John Dee in England during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. And that they had this vision when America was discovered, when Columbus makes this discovery in 1492, and then this knowledge now of this this new world comes to Europe. Men like Bacon believed that what they had really discovered was the lost continent of Atlantis, not symbolically or metaphorically. They didn't believe Atlantis was beneath the ocean as some, on the Discovery Channel and so on, scuba divers going, looking up under the water. They believed that this continent that you and I are sitting on, that this was the site of ancient Atlantis. And they believed that it was, mystical, it was symbolic, that there was a reason why the gods, if you will, had revealed it to mankind. And that from this land, mankind would have a new beginning, and would somehow or other resurrect the ancient Atlantis, which, according to legends and so on, was not just a city but or an island, but it was a commonwealth that extended to all the world. Ultimately, Atlantis reigned over the whole earth at that time, or at least according to the legends. And so they envisioned a new Atlantis going forth that would be based on these new philosophic ideas that that Bacon had, and that this would ultimately envelop the world and develop into a global society.
Yeah, develop into what they call their ideal system, the New World Order. Again, that's a phrase and a term that they use and we report on. We'll be back after this with America's Secret Beginning Zone, Chris Pinto. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
you worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging.
Yeah,
fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use in FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis sitting in, and we are joined by Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, writer and director, all three parts, Chris Pinto. And Chris, you know, all of these really touch on similar ideas, and it progresses, but that one idea of the creation of this new global governance, this new world order, you refer to it as possibly world democracy. You get into masonry, secret societies, the architecture of DC, and in the latest one, the Maitreya figure. And I want to get into that Maitreya figure a little bit later and how that may coincide with the Bohemian Grove. I sent you a couple pictures after our discussion the last time. But why don't you give an overview of, you know, people like Benjamin Franklin and Queen Elizabeth, who are featured in the first one of these, the New Atlantis?
Well, Queen Elizabeth, she's a very interesting character. I mean, she preferred the, you know, at the time, the politics of England were very much Protestant England against Catholic Europe. And the Pope had excommunicated Elizabeth and was trying to have her assassinated, basically. And so you had all of these spies, you had Jesuits, you had very zealous Catholics who, according to the Catholic doctrine at that time, if a monarch were excommunicated by the Pope, then Catholics who were faithful had a responsibility not to obey that monarch first, and second, to try and kill them. And so this created, you know, a climate of potential assassination around Elizabeth. So what happened was the English formed a number of groups, at least one in particular, the Rosicrucians, who formed around Elizabeth to protect her from assassination. So they developed an intelligence network where they were involved with ciphers and secret codes and all this other kind of stuff. And Bacon and John Dee. In fact, John Dee is the original Agent 007. He was the inspiration for Ian Fleming's whole James Bond series, because Dee would sign his correspondence to the Queen, 007. He's also the original magus or wizard figure that inspired Dr. Faustus, inspired Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, inspired Albus Dumbledore from the Harry Potter books, and so on. So Dr. John Dee is a very interesting character, but he was the Queen's astrologer, and he had a powerful influence over Queen Elizabeth and apparently on Sir Francis Bacon. But Dee was the head of the Rosicrucians for a time, and then he handed off the reins to Bacon. Bacon ends up financing the Virginia Company, heavily financing the Virginia Company that then comes to Jamestown in 1607. And if you look at the Great Seal of Virginia today, the Seal of Virginia has a picture of a female goddess wearing a helm and a spear, okay? And she's got her foot on the throne of like a fallen, or on the neck of a fallen tyrant. And the goddess, if you look at her very carefully, they give her another name, but she is almost the exact image of Pallas Athena. And Pallas Athena was the goddess that Francis Bacon claimed was his muse, his inspiration and so on, of wisdom and whatnot. So now you fast forward into American history, 100-some-odd years later, and you've got Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was, in his day, like a latter-day Francis Bacon. Bacon was the father of the modern scientific method. He developed all of these ciphers and secret codes, had books on them and so on, very involved in printing and literature and writing and publishing things and so on. And Benjamin Franklin was involved in all the same things. A lot of people don't realize, we know, you know, Franklin from the discovery of electricity, but he had a number of scientific inventions that, you know, the bifocals and so on. But he was very involved in science, very involved in writing and printing, even as Bacon was, and he even published a book on cipher secret codes. But he was, during the American Revolution, what Bacon was during the time of Queen Elizabeth, because Bacon was a part of this whole intelligence network to protect the Queen. And Franklin was really the special forces intelligence guy during the American Revolution, working on behalf of America over in Europe. He was in France, he was in England, he was the member of secret societies in America, England, and France, the three countries that were all involved in the American Revolution.
And these secret societies, by the way, are the precursors to today's intelligence networks. I mean, that's even mainline. I mean, in The Good Shepherd, the film by Robert De Niro starring Matt Damon, they openly show you that they used Yale as a recruitment tool for people in Skull and Bones, which was yet another precursor to these intelligence agencies, to bring in the CIA and the OSS.
Absolutely. I mean, the Her Majesty's Secret Service, you know, MI5 or MI6 and all of that in England was with Walsingham, who was working with Bacon, John Dee, all of these guys. This is how they developed their secret code system. It's brought to America, and from America, as you said, it ultimately unfolds into our, you know, the OSS and then the CIA today. But it's a very interesting history, but it's all based on these secret societies. And so Franklin was very, very interesting. In fact, there are some people who have written books about Franklin, calling him a spy master and even questioning his loyalty to the United States during the Revolutionary War, because it came out years after the war that Franklin had a double agent a British spy that was working on his staff, and that he'd been warned about many times, but he never did anything to get rid of the guy. And there's actually a book out there called Ben Franklin, Patriot or Spy. It's called Number 23, Ben Franklin, Patriot or Spy, because Franklin's code name with British intelligence was Number 23. Number 72, and he was also called Moses. That was his other nickname. But Franklin was involved with a secret group in England called the Hellfire Club. And you mentioned this last time I was on the radio with you, Jason, about, Franklin and the Hellfire Club, and then now they found in the 1990s, they dug up his home there in London. And found all of these dead bodies, you know, the bones of these cadavers and so on.
And that's mainline news, by the way. That's not just me and you talking about it or some obscure author. I think it was like London Telegraph or Guardian. I mean, it was as mainline as it could get.
Yeah, in fact, today they've turned his home into a museum where you can go there. And they actually have some of the bones. They found not only the bones of adults and children, but they found animal bones beneath those.
Oh.
And I've seen a few pictures of the remains, and they look like they're sort of blackened in places and charred, almost as if they had been burned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that satanic groups do, they have human sacrifices, but they also have animal sacrifices as well. And, we can only wonder. Their official explanation is that there was a medical school in Franklin's home for like a year and a half or 2 years, and that that's where the bodies came from.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he was, deeply involved with this Hellfire group that had been founded by Sir Francis Dashwood. Mm-hmm. And Dashwood was like a close advisor to King George III, who was the king we were fighting against in the American Revolution. Dashwood was a member of the House of Commons, the House of Lords. He was a prominent member. And there were other political figures that were a part of this group that called themselves the Monks of Medmenham Abbey, but their nickname was the Hellfire Club. And I believe the Hellfire Club, if you study them and what they were into, I believe they were a precursor to the Bohemian Grove Club that you guys exposed in Alex Jones' video, showing the rituals in the Bohemian Grove. Some of those guys are dressed up like, Catholic priests and cardinals and so on with the big
exactly.
Hats.
The head guy wears what looks like a pope hat. He's in a long robe and he has himself a staff as he gives this very Babylonian Gaia worship ritual. And then at the end of the ritual, someone rows in on a boat, gives him an effigy of a baby. Meanwhile, there are probably a dozen or so other gentlemen holding torches in what appear to be druidic-like outfits, waiting for this cremation of care, if you will. And then they drop the body on this fiery, altar in front of the owl god Moloch, this 40-foot statue that's hollowed out and has their little sound system in it. Everybody starts cheering and fireworks go off, and that's the kickoff of this ceremony. Very Christian.
Yeah, well, you've exactly. All those elements, well, at least the dressing up like, popes and cardinals and bishops and this kind of thing, the Hellfire Club did all of that. They also had a statue, which they have sort of a parallel of at the Bohemian Grove. They had a statue, as you went into their underground, of a figure with his finger over his lips, like be quiet, don't, keep secrets. And they do the same thing. Who is that figure?
It is St. John of Maplenuck. And, yeah, they openly have him as a mascot. And if you see it, it's a statue of him going like this. And, later on in the program, probably after we go over Riddles in Stone in the next segment, I want to go over this Maitreya figure that is also at the Bohemian Grove and also very, very large. You know, it seems that the more information we get about the Grove, the more into the occult they are, the more they are into, all these different mystery religions, all these things outside of Christianity. And, they all, not all of them, but, the people like the Bush family, oh, we're Christian conservatives. Really, what are you doing at the Bohemian Grove? And this Maitreya figure is just as massive as this Moloch figure. We're going to go over that on the other side. It's The Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hazard Rid Total Protection Kits quickly complete any size job by applying a top-quality disinfectant, virucide, fungicide, mildew stat, and deodorizer in the form of an effective yet gentle fog. Our portable fogging device can conquer normal chores, plus provide unmatched protection for your family and workplace from viruses, bacteria, mold, and more. The Hazard Rid Kits hospital-approved ingredients come in a highly concentrated form, and each kit can make up to 32 gallons of protection. Reduce labor cost, outstanding product savings, and professional quality performance all save you more than the cost of this kit. For a limited time, GCN listeners who order online will receive double the active ingredients, which means you get up to 64 gallons of product absolutely free. Save money on daily tasks and be truly prepared for those urgent situations. For a short tell-all video, go to HazardRid.com. That's H-A-Z-A-R-I-D, HazardRid.com. Or call 800-675-0323. That's 800-675-0323 and order today.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at Infowars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
People saying that are the elite. Better off dead. That's what population sustainability is about. And, you know, I don't like it any more than anybody else does, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to report on it. We're joined by Chris Pinto, who is the writer and director of the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning series. That's The New Atlantis, Riddles in Stone, and of course the latest, Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. You can get all three of them right now at the InfoWars shop for the bargain price of $59.95. When you get two, you get one free. And like I said, these movies are each well over 2 hours. They cover, I mean, this interview, we're not going to be able to cover one-tenth of the information in these films. And what's really great about these films, Chris, and on the other side, I want to get into this Maitreya figure and all that other stuff, but what's really great about these films is that you go to the Theosophic Society. You get information from the horse's mouth. You talk to high-level Masons on camera, and they reveal so many telling things. I mean, one of the most haunting images for me in the entire series is when you're explaining the Stone of Destiny and Nicholas Rorick. And the gentleman who's at the Theosophic Society shows you the little bust of Nicholas Rorick. I think it's a copper bust or something like that. And he starts rubbing the box. And the look on his face and the way that he's rubbing this box that Nicholas Rorick is supposedly holding of the Stone of Destiny is just so eerie. I mean, was that kind of the goal, to go get the information from the horse's mouth, to go to the Theosophic Society, to go to those people that would talk, positively about people like Manly P. Hall and people like who wrote Morals and Dogma? Why can't I think of his name? Who wrote Morals and Dogma? He's big time in the series.
Albert Pike.
Albert Pike, that's right. Bust of Pike. I mean, you do such a great job of, again, getting the opinions of those who are in favor of this stuff, who love Nicholas Rorick, who love to be Masons. I mean, was that the goal, to get it right from the source?
Absolutely, that was our intent. You know, as we began with volume one, there's a lot of books, a lot of literature out there talking about these issues, talking about Freemasonry and the secret societies and so on. And what I was really hoping we'd be able to do is to talk to as many of these people as possible. And we created a History Channel type format for the series. And we told these guys, we let them know in advance what we were going to ask them about. So we didn't go in and sneak up on them. I would send everybody their questions in advance. And these are guys who often speak out against conspiracy theorists and people like yourself and Alex Jones and guys like me and whatnot. And so, our approach to them was, hey, listen, we want to hear your side of the story. These are the questions I'm going to ask you, and you tell me what's the right understanding of these things. And so the interviews were very casual. I tried to keep them very relaxed. There was no, hostile trying to put them in an awkward position. I just asked them the questions and then let them talk. And I guess because they were relaxed, they were willing to come out with and reveal, I think, a lot of information that they would have been much more guarded about otherwise. And at least that's what we're told from others who see the series. But that guy, Dr. Obadiah Harris at Manly Hall's Society and Library, who's rubbing the statue of Nicholas Rorick, he's a particularly creepy guy. He's the guy who says that democracy has an occult promise to it. And you see, you and I, we grew up in America. Most Americans grow up with the idea of democracy, and we're just thinking of it, you vote on issues, and it's the will of the people and that kind of thing, and it's just American freedom. To the occult societies, democracy, the idea of self-government, it takes on a whole different meaning. And it's just a very bizarre, very mystical meaning, and it's about the idea of humanity really ascending into godhood, and they look forward to a central figure, whether they call him the Maitreya, the Christ, the world teacher, a central figure like this is why there's so much worship of Barack Obama. Because they're looking for somebody like this who will step forward onto the world stage and lead mankind into this glorious golden era. But this man, that they're anticipating, they believe that he is a god.
And on the other side, we're going to get into that Maitreya. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this.
We're on the march.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Health Lesson 101. Swine flu is the topic of news. Fear and panic seems to be at the top of our emotions. Fact: if your colon is cleansed of toxins, you are less susceptible to any flu virus. Viruses love unhealthy bodies and attack our system to make us sick. So get prepared before the attack. Drink your way to health. Order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. No fear, no panic, just drink in the protection of Life Change Tea.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Spring is here. Growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. And before we go back to Chris Pinto, I want to thank another one of our great sponsors, Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com. The call line is 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. And you can not only get pepper spray to defend yourself here, you can get stun guns, tasers, animal repellents, home safety, personal alarms. And, you know, we just ran that story last night. I don't know if we talked about it on the Alex Jones Show. College student shoots, kills home invader. These people went into the house. They separated 10 different people, women on one side, guys on the other. They overheard him saying, "Hey, do you have enough bullets?" And he's like, "Yeah, I have enough." Luckily, someone was armed, got his gun, shot and killed one of the perpetrators. The other people ran away. They're now being detained by police. But arming yourself is a way to protect yourself. And if you live in a state like New York, like I do, you know, I'm out in Texas now, but I still have my place in New York, where it is almost an impossibility, let me repeat that, almost an impossibility to get a carry and conceal permit, please think about getting a stun gun, a taser, pepper spray. Pepperspray.com is the website, 1-800-908-9988. All right. that last segue, talking about this Maitreya figure, is really where I wanted to go into this interview, because the Maitreya figure is, I mean, it looks like a Buddha. Some people are saying this is the new Christ, this is going to be the Antichrist. You touch upon it in Riddles in Stone at the end, saying, you know, some people believe it's going to be coming very shortly, and then really hit it out of the ballpark in Eye of the Phoenix. Why don't you just give a brief synopsis of what this means and what the people who believe in this stuff think this Maitreya will bring to them?
Well, a lot of it begins, it goes back, they would tell you that it goes back thousands of years. It really comes into Western culture through Madame H.P. Blavatsky, who was the founder of the Theosophical Society. And we talk about her. A lot of people don't realize how many people, prominent people, were theosophists. Henry Wallace, who was the vice president under FDR, Mahatma Gandhi, Nehru, the first prime minister of India, Thomas Edison, and a whole host of others were members of the whole theosophical movement, where Madame Blavatsky is literally promoting, through her writings, she's promoting Lucifer, the archangel Lucifer, as the true God, and claiming that the God of the Bible, the God of Judeo-Christianity, is a false god and really a devil, in short. But she is the one who writes about this Maitreya figure. She calls him the fifth Buddha, the fifth incarnation of Gautama Buddha, and that he would be the final Messiah that would come into the world and lead mankind into this glorious golden era. That's a short, brief explanation of what the Maitreya is. And of course, we talk about in Riddles in Stone in the second part, because the architecture of Washington D.C. that's what Riddles is about. The architecture of D.C. is all engineered to promote the occult doctrine that man is ultimately his own god, and that man ascends into godhood by degrees by his own power, and that's what the Maitreya represents. And the sort of the guy who calls himself the John the Baptist for the Maitreya is this guy, Benjamin Krem, who came out 20-some-odd years ago and made a declaration in Los Angeles that the Maitreya was getting ready to, the Christ is here. He took out full-page ads in newspapers around the world saying the Christ is now here, and he calls the Christ the Maitreya, and he's going to come into the world and at any moment. Now, he's been saying this for more than 20 years, but what's peculiar is this guy, Benjamin Krem, he speaks at the United Nations. He speaks to these political and pseudo-political groups around the world, and he's been doing it for decades. In fact, we got a brief interview with him in Los Angeles back in 2006, and he had just come from speaking to an NGO group in the United Nations. And he, in fact, right after Barack Obama was elected president, Share International, which is his organization, gave a press release saying that there were going to be spectacular things happening in the following year and that the Maitreya was going to emerge at some point, or so they believe. But this was a central doctrine surrounding FDR's administration. Henry Wallace and then Nicholas Rorick, who was this Russian guru, this mystic character, who was also a member of Blavatsky's Theosophical Society.
And a total globalist, by the way. I mean, this guy was all about globalism, and didn't he help bring in some of these different organizations?
Oh, sure. He helped with the founding of the League of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
He's given credit for the, League was dissolved because of World War II, and then he's credited with the formation of the United Nations afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there was this whole Rorick Peace Pact that was signed in the White House by Henry Wallace with FDR and so on. He was a very influential political figure, nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize and so on. He was lauded by political leaders around the world. Especially in Tibet and the eastern countries and so on. There they celebrated him openly. And if you see his paintings, and we go to the Rorick Museum in New York and we show all of his paintings are all promoting, you know, globalist ideas of unifying all the world religions, unifying all the countries of the world. And he was specifically working through the White House now when he went abroad toward creating or helping to create the Asian Union that we're seeing, you know, come about now. But he was part of the whole groundworking of that movement during FDR's era. So he's promoting this idea of the Maitreya. When they built his building, called the Master Building in New York, they laid the cornerstone, and they put in there a piece of what he was calling the Stone of Destiny with an image of the Maitreya.
Mm-hmm.
They put an image of the Maitreya inside this cornerstone. And what's really bizarre about this, Jason, this wasn't just an event where they laid the cornerstone. They had dignitaries come from around the world, from Argentina, from Spain, from Romania, from all, you know, all over the world. Albert Einstein sends a tribute. Henry Wallace is there. I mean, it's this major event in 1929, right before the stock market crash. But it was a very different environment in America. And there was a very mystical environment surrounding this guy, Rorik. And they're all coming to see this Maitreya. So when you sent me these images of the Maitreya in the Bohemian Grove, I thought, oh, my gosh, this really ties it all together. But mm-hmm. this is the central theme for these secret occult groups that are manipulating our world political system. But they're doing it because they ultimately believe that all of their efforts are going to mystically, magically compel this person, whoever he will be, to come into the world. You know, now, if you're a Christian, as I am, then you believe this figure is the Antichrist prophesied in the Bible, the false Messiah that's going to become the one world ruler. But there are these groups, and they have links that go to the most powerful offices in the world who are really trying to bring this to pass. And they're involved, as you described earlier, in these occult rituals, these satanic, you know, mock human sacrifices. And some people even are reporting that they have real human sacrifices there in the Bohemian Grove. Although I haven't seen, you know, full confirmation of that.
Sure, but just the fact that we're just now discussing that there's a Maitreya figure there, when obviously these photographs have been out there and, you know, mainstream media totally ignores the subject, and really the alternative media only knows what limited information is out there. It seems like this is a different section of the Grove. It seems like a different ritual goes on here, and it seems like, you know, again, the elite are looking at this figure as, like you said, this coming Christ figure. What I don't understand is, where does it fit into Buddhism? Where does this Maitreya fit into Buddhism? Why are they the same? Why are they represented by the same figure?
Well, my understanding of it is, and it gets very complicated, even if you listen to them explain it. And then when you ask them questions, the ones who believe all of this, they themselves get confused. But it's the Maitreya is supposed to be the fifth incarnation of the original Buddha. Mm-hmm. That he has supposedly five incarnations. Gautama Buddha was his name, and he claimed that he would have a fifth incarnation, and that would be his final incarnation. And so they have, throughout Eastern mysticism, they have believed that this would be that Jesus and, you know, Muhammad and Krishna and all of these different figures, they believe that they all were inspired by what they call the Christ principle or the Christ spirit or Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that they themselves were not Christs. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They believe that he was just somebody who was inspired by this energy, but that the real Christ figure is the Buddha, is Maitreya Buddha. And that he will ultimately, when he comes into the world, he'll be a global messiah that appeals to all the world religions and is able to unite all the world religions. That's what they believe.
It's just crazy to me that, you know, some people will act like, oh, religion has no stance. We need to, especially in this movement, they'll say, oh, religion needs to go if we ever want to progress to man. But what they never really want to address is that those who are in the upper echelons of power, the true elite, they are religious, and their religion is this occult religion. And like you said, they do believe of the coming of this Maitreya figure. I mean, how can we get around that? How can we relate to people that, hey, even if you're not religious, even if you're secular, you don't subscribe to Christianity or Buddhism, or you're not a Muslim or a Jew, you know, how do we get to those people that this is what they believe?
Yeah, that's a tough one. One of the arguments that I make is I try to explain to people that the whole doctrine, the idea of a separation of church and state, mm-hmm. People hear that and they think it means removing religion from government. And that's not what it means. What it means, if you study these societies, it means removing the church, i.e. Christianity, getting Christianity out of American government. But they want, like when you go into Washington, D.C., and you're seeing all of these god and goddess images and so on. I mean, these are all religious symbols.
Including the goddess Persephone, which is on the top of the Capitol building. A lot of people don't even realize that.
Right. You go out in front of the courthouse, they had this big deal in front of courthouses, right, getting rid of the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouse. But right next to the Ten Commandments, they have a statue of Themis, the blindfolded goddess holding the scales. Mm-hmm. That's the ancient goddess of justice. But nobody ever says anything about getting rid of her. The ACLU is not leading a crusade to get rid of all the religious iconography. They're just trying to get rid of Christianity or Judeo-Christianity, biblical values and teachings and so on. But all of the pagan stuff can remain. You know, the all-seeing eye stays on the dollar bill. The Washington Monument's not going anywhere. Nobody's ever threatened the Statue of Liberty, even though Lady Liberty is based upon the Babylonian mother goddess of the ancient world. All of these are religious icons. And what they're doing is they're supplanting, they're getting rid of, just as they got rid of the teaching of creation in our schools, and then they put in this ancient Hindu belief about reincarnation, but they call it evolution, right? And they call it a science. And now that's what they're teaching in our schools. But evolutionary teaching doesn't have any scientific basis to it if you study it. It's all based in the ancient Hindu, Eastern mystical view about how, you know, man begins as a tadpole or something, comes back as a frog, comes back as a goat, a dog, et cetera, and so on. And he's continually evolving upward toward godhood. That's where all of this stuff goes. And it is really what they believe. And they believe this is the true religion of the universe, as it were. Mm-hmm. And that anything that you're taught in the Bible is a counterfeit, or that it's been misunderstood by Christianity, as it were. So that's the real enemy for them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, one of the things, just to support something that you guys talk a lot about, the idea of, you know, Alex Jones says it's not about left or right, and I couldn't agree more. One of the things that I often tell people, say about George Bush, who presents himself as a Christian, and then he goes off and he's bowing down to this owl god out there in the Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. If the left-wing media really hated Bush, if they hated Bush and they wanted to stop him from becoming president, all they would have had to do is just run a week-long story on a Bohemian Grove that the Bush family's a part of it. They're bowing down to Buddhas and this 40-foot owl god of Molech, and there's no way evangelical Christians would have ever voted for George Bush. They would have never voted for him. And so, you know, the manipulation does happen on the left and on the right. And it's like Jesse Ventura says in that clip you guys have, that it's like professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, they're putting on a show, but they're not telling you all the things that they could tell you. So it's, I feel bad for my fellow Christians in America, because I feel like they're often the ones who are being lied to and manipulated, because Christianity is, you know, 80% of the people in our country profess some form of Christianity. And so they often use Christianity and churches and so on to manipulate this agenda. And a lot of what we're trying to do through the Secret Mystery series, which is why we talk about how, yes, Christians did come here in the beginning, you know, with the Puritan Pilgrim movement, but there were with them these secret groups. And as Manly Hall says, they reclothe their pagan ideas in this garment of Christian phraseology, but the reason was so that they could manipulate the Christian population to carry out their secret agenda. That's what they've been doing for 200 years now.
What's next for you? Are you going to do a part four? Are you going to do another film project? I mean, I love these movies, and I give them out to my friends and families, especially, you know, on my mother's side. They're very Christian. They're very religious. But at the same time, a lot of them are Bush Christians. You know, they don't understand that there is no difference between the left and right. They don't understand that their leaders are really into the occult. You know, they don't have this broad overview of what you present. So I think it's a great eye-opener if I can actually get them to throw it into the DVD player. What's next for Chris Pinto and David Bay?
Well, for myself and David, we are we're doing our pre-production stuff for Secret Mysteries Part 4, which is the working title is War of the World. And it takes this whole America series and how America is really being used by these secret groups to carry out the New World Order. And,
excellent, excellent. We'll come back. We're going to talk about that more on the other side. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes. The website's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
IonicZone.com sells virus, bacteria, and mold-killing products that will protect you and your loved ones from airborne pathogens, biological threats, chemtrails, you name it. For instance, IonicZone sells their patented ozone generators from $279, digital water ozonators from $135, and UVC dual lamp induct air sanitizers from $279. IonicZone also sells highly effective alternative health products. For instance, Jim Humble's revolutionary internal virus-killing invention, MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, Canada's Nurse Reen Cases, Asciox-T, naturopath-recommended Super Zeolite for heavy metal detox, even an ozone handheld bidet. If you're interested in natural healing, you'll love what Ionic Zone has to offer. Ionic Zone also offers free home business opportunities that will make you well over $1,000 a month. Call Mike, toll free at 1-800-549-9535 to inquire, or go to ioniczone.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. I'm sending out a special alert to all those out there listening with credit card debt and struggling to make payments. I'm going to give you a very important phone number. Due to a declining economy and credit crisis, you now have the power to settle your debt and lower your payments by up to 60% or more by calling the Bailout Group. This program has already settled over $100 million of debt and are saving individual consumers thousands of dollars. Folks, if you are struggling with credit card debt and those excessive interest payments, the time is now to take advantage of this opportunity. Call the Bailout Group today at 1-800-324-6554. I hope our listeners take advantage of this. The call is free, and in 10 minutes they will show you how much you can save right over the phone with one simple call. Let the Bailout Group bail you out of debt, reduce your payments by up to 60%, and save you thousands of dollars today. That number again is 1-800-324-6554. 800-324-6554. The Bailout Group.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
Here here I am wearing my Bohemian Grove Trapskeet hat that somebody sent us, and next to me is the Annal from 1987 to 1996, and if we zoom in on that, we had a caller yesterday, Chris, that was questioning how could Alex Jones possibly get into the Bohemian Grove, and he was insinuating that Alex was a member and it was all a conspiracy and blah, 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 blah. The truth is, in the early 80s, they did do some mainline reporting on the Bohemian Grove, and we have those clips. They're going to be in my next film, Invisible Empire, which really goes over this globalist New World Order agenda. Tom Brokaw talking about it, ABC News talking about it. But in the Annal, I want to just show this on the PrisonPlanet.tv really quick, and we'll zoom out from it to see what other characters are here. But you have a news reporter sitting here, and he's also a cartoonist. And he's drawing a picture, and if you miss this, if you're listening, go check it out on YouTube later. He's drawing, he's pretending he's doing the news, but there's the thought bubble behind him, and he's in a robe and he has a candle. He's a member of the Bohemian Grove, and he's basically talking to everybody. Zoom out a little further, and let's see who our good friends are above him. Oh, look, it's Newt Gingrich and George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, the very good Christian men. Unbelievable. You know, what do you say to those kind of critics that, you know, they think that everything's a conspiracy? They think because Alex was able to get into the Bohemian Grove, he must be a member or a Vatican assassin. I mean, to me, it's just ludicrous. But to the outsider looking in, how do you explain to him, that's not what happened?
Well, I would, we've dealt with some of those people as well. We had a woman call and accuse us of being controlled by radical Muslims and left a message on our machine because in our documentaries we hadn't mentioned Islam or something. I mean, some people do. I mean, I think Alex Jones and you guys, you do a great job because you're very careful to document the things that you're talking about. And we try to do the same thing in our films. And what ends up happening is you put aside a lot of your conspiracy theories. If you have a conspiracy theory about something and you go and investigate it, sometimes you're wrong. You know, sometimes you had an idea about something and it just wasn't the right idea. But I think that's why it's so careful to document your evidence. But those kind of accusations against Alex, I've seen them against my partner, David Bay. He's been openly accused of being a member of the Illuminati because we mentioned Sir Francis Bacon, and there was this whole conspiracy theory that went on about that. I think it just kind of comes with the territory. And mm-hmm. So we encourage people to be, you know, to be careful, to prove all things, as the Bible says. You know, we're Christians, and we admonish people. The Bible also says, accuse no man falsely. So we try to refrain from that and just encourage people to seek the truth, and we try to present as much documentation as possible to convict people so that they would go and conduct their own investigation.
And exactly. The proof is in the pudding, and we put this stuff out there. We source it, and we hope that people check out our source material. That's what this is about. When you talk about the pentagram in Riddles and Stone that's inlaid in the DC architecture, of course, with the open segment, you explain this is a Faustian process and out of one of his plays, correct?
Absolutely. And we show that it's mentioned by a very high-ranking Mason, Goethe, the famous German writer in Faust, and he's publishing this broken pentagram in Faust during the same time period that Pierre L'Enfant is doing the street design for Washington, D.C.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us. The series is Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, The New Atlantis, Riddles in Stone, Eye of the Phoenix, and look out for Part 4, hopefully, in the coming months. They're in pre-production now, but I'm sure it's going to be another bang-up video. We'll be back after this. We've got Alan Watt for the full hour. We're going to be taking your calls in the second half hour. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.